That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God's favor is pleased." And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried into the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and the angels had said to them about the child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. They were astonished. Does Christmas still bring you astonishment? Does Christmas still bring you joy? Does Christmas still bring you hope? Does Christmas still excite love inside of your heart? What about peace? Thus far, has every day of the Christmas season been a day of peace? Has it been peace as you've driven the loops? Has it been peace in your shopping? Has it been peace in your family? Has it been peace in your attic and in your storage sheds as you are dragging out the Christmas tree again? Has it been peace as you gloriously and lovingly and hopefully and joyfully place your ornaments throughout your house? Has it been peace as you have watched your checking account inflate? Or is that deflate? Say it with me, regardless. Say it again, regardless. There is peace on earth. Oh, by the way, have you been watching television? Once again, there's peace on earth. And would you turn to one another and say, regardless, it's a Merry Christmas, and then you may be reseated. The Christmas narrative is filled with paradoxes and conundrums. Shepherds. If you're a student of Scripture, you understand that shepherds were possibly the most inferior of positions to work in the legitimized field of income. Shepherds work shift work. They hardly ever saw other shepherds outside of their circle of shepherds. It had been many days and weeks and months and possibly ever since they had attended synagogue. And yet it was to them the angels brought the message. They were experiencing trauma because as shift workers, their wages were directly connected to the government. And every year there was less income and more taxes. For generations, there had been no stories told except stories of dictators. And at that very moment, they were involved with a cruel despot. And a local government that had sold out to this international terrorist. And there they are, looking at the heavens, reflecting on a million stars, when all of a sudden these million stars were transformed into a million angels. And heaven opened. And if they had been looking close, they might have been able to see the very throne room of God. As an angel spoke to them and said, "It is peace on earth towards people of goodwill." That was exciting. It was also equally exciting because when Moses had experienced the presence of God, he was terrified. When Isaiah experienced the presence of God, he was terrified. And even John the Revelator, later when he experienced God, would be terrified. And the angel spoke to them and said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy." No group of people were less prepared for this vision, for this visualization. No people were less qualified for this vision than were these shepherds. And they rush to the place, and they find the place where Mary and Joseph, and in the King James, I used to kid and say that must have been a queen size or king size bed, because King James in its translation said, "You will find Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger." And I think when we get there, we find that it was only the babe that was lying in that feed trough. So they saw it, and for a few moments, they were overwhelmed by the silent night, holy night. But that peace didn't continue. It didn't continue for them. It certainly didn't continue for Joseph. It certainly didn't continue for Mary. It certainly didn't continue even for Bethlehem, because the shout would go throughout the city in just days as scores of little boys were murdered, as this cruel dictator sent out this cruel army dedicated to murder and mayhem, and each of their swords had the entrails of a small little boy stuck to them. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. I don't believe the angels were misdirected. I don't believe the angels were overly excited by the moment, and their tongue spoke untruths. I know without a doubt in my mind they were speaking of peace. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. No purposeful deception. And yet, there was not peace. There would be no peace. This Prince of Peace, who lay there on that silent night in the crib, with the reverberation of angelic hosts still undulating around, only to be interrupted and told that they had to get out of Dodge as quick as they possibly could. And they run to Egypt. And Jesus' life was anything other than peaceful. Until one day, in a community garden, where he went for respite in order to lay his burdened heart before the Father, in order to have dialogue with the Father and say to the Father, I'm not prepared for the next chaotic moments of my life. I am not ready for the next war that this world is going to be brought into. I'm not ready for the next battle. So let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will be done. And then as he was beaten, as the crown was placed on his brow of thorns and it was beaten into his brow, as the blood trickled down his face and down his ears, as the cat of nine tails had ripped the skin off of his back, peace on earth. Peace on earth. 1 Thessalonians says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Peace is not necessarily circumstantial peace. Peace is not necessarily the ability to be able to sit at your dining room table with your feet underneath the table, knowing that all is right in the world and all is right with you and all is right in the world as it will be. Isaiah gives us an insight when he said, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, for a child is born to us, a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. And we stop there and we miss the key to peace. We miss the key to the acts that must unfold before it is peace on earth and goodwill towards men. The next time you're in Isaiah and read that, don't race past those verses because they're critically important to understand. But don't stop too soon, for the next verse says, the passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Notice that verse. There is a passionate occupation of a general that is going to make this happen. The overarching of peace is one that goes through the din and the roar of all circumstances. It is something that rises above conflict. It is something that revolves higher and creates a circle above CNN, NBC, CBS, whatever network you are reading, whatever news or watching or whatever news you are reading. It's very critical to understand that peace is not a circumstance. Turn to somebody and say, peace is not a circumstance. Peace is an individual. Peace is an individual. One of the last times that I spoke to you, I shared with you the book of Ephesians and how critical it is to be able to look at that and understand that Paul is just not greeting them. He is just not saying, hello, Ephesians, when he says grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying grace. Everything that is tied into your significance. You are nobody outside of Jesus Christ. What made the shepherds able to be a part of the audience of heaven was not who they were, but it's who God is. You're somebody very valuable. You're somebody extremely important. You're somebody with great significance, not because of who you are, but because of who sits on the very throne of your heart. Your significance, say it with me, my significance comes from God, who rules and reigns inside of me. Especially say this with me, I am somebody because He is somebody. Grace and peace. This idea of peace is this idea of security. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evidence to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Read this at a time of meditation, maybe as you go into the new year. Maybe as you begin to become a part of the year that Pastor Josh is going to introduce to you next Sunday. Maybe as you become a part of the milieu and the culture that Pastor Josh is going to introduce to us and cover us with in worship and praise. This idea of experiencing God. Read that verse again. Memorize this verse as you go into the new year. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, say it with me, every situation. Turn to somebody and give them a smile or a tear or whatever it takes and say, I'm sorry about your situation. I'm sorry about your situation. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And, say it with me, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Did you see your part in the story? Did you see the result of you doing your part well? The peace of God will come. It's not a situation. Peace is about a person. Peace comes from knowing Jesus Christ and may not directly influence your external circumstances. Someone told me a few weeks ago, and they were honest when they told me, they said they are going to stop seeking the presence of God. And I said, I'm real sorry to hear that. And they said, the closer we get to God, the more all hell breaks loose in our situations. May I let you in on a little secret? All hell was getting ready to break loose anyway. But you're drawing close to God. Covered you, put you in a cocoon that allowed you to get through those moments less dazed than you would have been if you had not been experiencing God. Somebody give the Lord a round of applause and say, I buy into that. I buy into that. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. John 14, I've spent 6, 7, 8 months meditating there. I spend at least 30 minutes a day involved in John 14. Because I realize how critical it is to realize that. I've preached 100 sermons or more from the basis of John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Sounds like I have something to do about not letting my heart be troubled. Sounds like it's something about positive thinking. Sounds like it's maybe listening to the right worship segues. Maybe it's about reading the right devotional books. Maybe it's about something else. Maybe it's about looking out and only seeing positive things. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. But he said, that is really not important. That's not critical. I'm just kind of giving you an idea of what I'm going to be doing. But I want you to understand that's really not germane to my subject. Because my subject is, I am going to heaven, and it's better that I go to heaven than I stay here. Because if I go to heaven, I am going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And when I have something to tell you, I am going to tell the Holy Spirit, and He is going to tell you what I want to tell you. So the Holy Spirit is a go-between, the intercessor, the interceder between God and us. And when there's turmoil in our life, and when there are difficulties in our life, the Holy Spirit, as an emissary from God, comes to our heart and speaks to us. Before the storm is abated, peace, be still. Peace, be still. And it's not amazing to me when I read that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Love, joy, peace. It's all about love. There's only one fruit of the Spirit, and that's love. And then the Holy Spirit takes that love that's divided and held together by His energy and power and releases it to us in the very crisis moments of our life. You need joy? Here is joy. You need peace? Here is peace. You need forbearance? Here is forbearance. I love the Unity Candle. My family and I have had major drawings to the Advent circle since the time that I pastored the first church a number of years ago. Pastor Josh did an outstanding job in directing your attention to love and hope. Hope was the first one. Hope, that candle that shines in the darkest of places, sometimes called the prophet's candle, when Israel was in the darkest moments of her life. Normally, she was in bondage. And a prophet would come and punch a hole in the darkness and say, this is the hope that you have. Messiah is coming. The kingdom will reign forever and ever, and He will reign forever, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a marvelous sermon. If you did not hear that sermon, please go online and listen to it. It will transform your life. The second candle was the candle of love. That candle reminded us that God loves and He gave. And part of the key to our success as individuals, part of the keys to our success as a church, part of our success as a nation, is that God loved and He gave, and we have learned to love and to give. And every time one of the elders have come, they have lighted that candle, my heart has shouted out. Sometimes I wanted to scream it, don't forget! God so loved, He gave. Amen? How many of you purpose to be better givers in 2020 than you were in 19? Would you sign that with a declaration by applauding and say, I want to be known as a giver in 2020? And then our director of schools last week, the message couldn't have been more complete than it was. The candle of joy. And every time from this day forward when I light the candle of joy, I will be reminded when the eternal meets the temporal. When the eternal meets the temporal, no matter what kind of a crisis, he talked of miscarriages. He talked of disappointment. He talked of being broken again and again and again. Disappointed. You can't be a head of schools and not be disappointed at times. You can't be a man and not be disappointed at times. I make my circle larger. You can't be a human being and not be disappointed at times. But God has a way of touching disappointment with his eternal presence, and suddenly it begins to glow. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. Amen. So many things we could talk about, and we do in our lifetime. The Bible says that there's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all those others. And it ends with the most odd phrase. It looks like the translators put it in the wrong place because it said there is no law against it. There's no law against it because it is the law. It is the law. If you want to understand how to live an effective life day after day after day, it's just to obey the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then you take that law in your environs. You take that law into your areas of responsibility. And with that law, you set up an opportunity for the kingdom to flow through, an opening of a portal that you are going to create. When you stand there and you dedicate that place to God and say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where I'm standing, at my house in my neighborhood, in the city that I live, in the country that I am a part of, in the world on which I inhabit, I declare that wherever I go, I will open a portal, just like the shepherds experienced on that day, when the angels stepped through that portal of God. Chris talked about it last week. I hope that didn't go over your head too quickly. There was a portal that was open and God stepped through. And whenever you declare your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the kingdom law becomes your law and the law of your region. Loving God and loving one another. And peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, begins to flow around you. Worship team is coming. Whenever anybody asks me, what is my favorite Christmas carol? It's really a tie. It's a tie between Mary, Did You Know, and this one. I was a precocious reader, and I learned to read before I was 4 years of age. It was almost a divine gifting from the Lord. But I tell you, you will think I'm crazier than you already thought I was. I was lying on the sofa in my grandmother's living room, and I was looking at the Bible, and I said I wanted to learn how to read. And I began to read from the Bible. My grandmother was so impressed. She said, "Son, you have a gift." She paid me $1 a page for every page that I would read from the Word of God to her. Something majestic. Something majestic about how the Word of God became flesh and began to live with us and around us. Love became incarnated. Hope became incarnated. Joy became incarnated. So I've always had a great desire for words. I read dictionaries like some people would read comic books. Encyclopedias. Somebody says, if you want to know something, ask Sanford. He knows a lot. I don't know anything that I haven't read. And my favorite poet was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. In school, when I was in the sixth grade, I memorized 9 of his poems and presented as an assembly before the students. There's one that I never brought because I don't think I really fully understood the meaning. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Over 1,000 poems. Wrote more published poems with more respect than any other poet who has ever lived. He married young. His wife died in childbirth. He lived alone for a long season of time, and then he met another lady. And as he was at his desk writing, he was watching his wife busying herself in the room, celebrating the new child, less than 3 months of age. He doesn't know what happened. But the next thing he knows is she was reaching down to touch the baby. She exploded in flames. And he went over to where she was and he threw her down on the floor and began to roll on her and tried to put the flames out. They said he literally extinguished the flames with his very face. He was unable to attend her funeral. For days, he didn't come out in public until he was able to grow a beard. And finally, this heavy, long beard that Longfellow wore was directly attributed to his embarrassment with his face that had been so burned. It was in the midst of the Civil War. Gettysburg had not been fought. He was disappointed, paradoxically, because his son had sent him a note. His son, who had aspired and even was estranged from his mother, who was now dead, because he wanted to join the army and fight in the Civil War. And he had fought in an unnamed battle and was injured and was lying in a hospital room. As his group got assignment to fight the Battle of Gettysburg, possibly the thing that saved his life. He begins to write a poem filled with angst. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth and goodwill to men. And thought how as this day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed month, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of my contentment and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and marks the song. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Some of you have gone through one of the worst weeks of your life. There's a man sitting here who had spent a long time and a lot of difficult hours purchasing the truck that he loved dearly, only to have it stolen from him as he was in a restaurant this week. There is a woman here whose morning was interrupted. As emergency said, your husband riding to work this morning on his motorcycle, a car hit him, threw him off his cycle. He has now been run over by another car. The good part of that story is he is already out of the hospital, and we declare a thank you, Lord, for that. Your week has not been peaceful. Your life has not been peaceful. Christmas almost mocks some of the circumstances of your life. But I declare to you, then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right shall prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
Heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're all familiar carols played. Mountains sweet, the songs ring. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing.
Peace on earth.
Like a choir they're singing.
Peace on earth.
In my heart I hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells, they're ringing like a choir singing. Does anybody
Reminded of creation. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and it says the earth was filled with darkness and void. There was chaos. And it says the Spirit of God began to move. And one by one, by one, by one, you saw things come into alignment. Order began to be established. There is no peace without order. There is no peace without order. If you feel today that your life is in chaos, if you feel that it is in a place of shaking, you can find peace in the midst of the storm. You can find peace in the midst of the trial. You can find peace in the midst of the chaos. And you only have to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He is the Prince of Peace. And he came to establish order and to bring peace to your life. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the Prince of Peace, if you are here today and you say, I need peace in my life. Maybe you know Jesus and maybe you have gotten distracted, sidetracked. Maybe your eyes have fallen upon the storms of life around you or the sickness or whatever might be happening in the moment. And you're focusing more on the problem than on the problem solver. I'm here to tell you today, there is hope. There's love. There's a joy that you can not even begin to fathom. And there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. Would you turn to him today? Would you embrace his love? Would you embrace his joy? Would you embrace his peace? Would you allow yourself to hope again that there is a day coming when all that is wrong will be made right? when all of the chaos and all of the evil and all of the suffering around the world will once again be put in order and established right, because the King of righteousness will rule and reign, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Can you say amen? Come on. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. I want you to stand where you are today as we close. Would everyone close their eyes, bow their heads? If there's anyone in this building today that would say, I need peace. I need peace in my life. Would you just slip your hand up right where you are? I see those hands all over this building. I need peace in my life. I'm going to say a prayer over you. Father, I ask that you would come now. That you would begin to move throughout this room. As in the book of John, chapter 14, you said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm with you, but I will be in you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. If you believe in God, believe in me. I am with you, but I will be in you. May it be so, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit that you sent to this earth, would find its rest, its abode within our hearts. And may we be filled with hope. May we be filled with love. May we be filled with joy. May we be filled with your peace, because it is a fruit of your Spirit that comes and fills our hearts and steadies, comforts our mind, and brings order to the chaos of our souls. Thank you, Lord, for your peace that surpasses all understanding. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he give you his peace. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Be blessed. So wonderful to have you in the house today. If you're thankful for this message of peace, would you give the Lord a praise offering in this place?